Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Israelites is one of the best image that God has given to us to learn from their life. So going through Deuteronomy, we are learning very precious lessons. Today, let's look at Deuteronomy 7. I'll read it for you. When the Lord, your God, brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, then you must devote them to complete destruction. You shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. Very first few verses in chapter 7 poses as a challenge. What Moses giving the instruction to Israelites, he says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it and clears away many nations, and in that there are seven nations he called out, Hittites, Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, what you have to do? You must devote them to complete destruction. So this is one of the very challenging question that many of us as human beings, as Christians, as non-Christians, this question is very intriguing, and many people have lost their faith with this question. How come a good God, you are telling a God, he allows this genocide? Right? How can he allow Israelites to kill the nations? So scripture is a wonderful gift from God. I can explain that just by looking at the chapter 7. Just by looking at chapter 7, what is the reason for that? But we can explain outside of chapter 7 as well. We can take the different examples from the Bible itself. And we can explain in different way from the extra-biblical. So we see here, Moses was mentioning, as he clears many nations before you, he's calling out these seven nations from this scripture, from this portion. Seven nations. These seven nations, when we look at them, these nations on the route towards the promised land. And we can see these seven nations from the scripture itself, various places we can see. For example, the Amalekites, they live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Numbers 13:29. Okay. So these seven nations have different characters. The Canaanites in the east and west, to the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites in the hill country, and to the Hivites below Hermon in the region of Mizpah. Joshua 11:3. So we can learn about these seven nations, different lessons we can learn. And all the people left from Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, that is their descendants remaining in the land, whom the Israelites had not destroyed. Though these, Solomon conscripted for the slave labor force as it is to this day, 2 Chronicles 8:7 to 8. So like that, we can learn from these people, from scripture itself. Okay. From the scripture itself, we can learn, and really we can understand it. One of the blessings that I have is when I read scripture first 20 times from Genesis to Revelation, I just read only the word of God. I praise God that I did not refer to any commentaries. Because you can really understand as the Holy Spirit teaches us. I think that should be one of our goals as Christians. Because we take so much help of, it's very important. We have to study extra biblical. We have to understand the social context. We have to understand historical context, language. These are all very important. But when the Lord speaks to us through his word, he explains to us amazingly. So that is my testimony. And we see here these seven nations. Several things we can understand. Who are the Canaanites? The Canaanites apparently lived along the coast and the Jordan during Joshua's time. However, the term Canaanite is often used collectively of all the inhabitants of Canaan, regardless of racial origin. Who are the Hittites? The Hittites developed a powerful empire in East Central Asia from 200 BC by 1600 BC, King so-and-so information. See, I can read all this information. I collected this from the from searching, trying to understand. And interestingly, Uriah, who is Uriah? Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men, was apparently from around Jerusalem. Hivites, the name of this nation appears 25 times in the Bible. Perizzites, lived in Canaan since the patriarchs. So these are the seven nations, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites. Jebusites is not mentioned here. The term Jebusites refer to a group of living in the uplands of Canaan near Jerusalem. So there are many nations in that nation, seven nations God mentioned very specifically. And there are nations like Philistines. There are nations, several nations were there. So in all these nations, God mentioning, picking up these seven nations, and he says, when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, then you must devote them to complete destruction. It's a complete destruction. How come a loving God makes this statement? It's an emotional statement. So we need to understand the questioner. Very important. So honestly, when I was reading C.H. McIntosh commentary on this, I can tell it is so much outdated. So much he is telling about they, he is explaining they, we. For the current generation, if they read that, it becomes so much a gap. And I praise God I did not read that before. See, because we all come with baggages, we all come with cultures, we all come with assumptions. And as the word of God comes to us, as we trust God, God is the one who answers us, who confirms us, who gives us confidence in his nature. And we see here, he says, you shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. Verse 3, you shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons. For they would turn away your sons from following me. The first answer. Why is it so? Is because they will turn away from following me. God is a jealous God. God wants a dedicated love towards him. And we see here, they're turning away. We see the example of Solomon in their, how the concubines, how they turned away his focus from God. See, in our life, it's easy to go away from the focus. It's easy to go away. Sometimes, right, when we get up in the morning, we want to do some tasks, some very important. We do so many things. By end of the day, we look back and say, oh, the very important thing we have not done. Isn't it? Just before going to the bed, we look back and see. It's easy for us to get distracted. How many of you have this experience? Many of us, right? It's easy to distract from our goal. And here we see, they would turn away your son from following me to serve other gods. And we see here, then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you quickly. But thus you deal with them, you shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and chop down their asherim and burn their carved images with fire. So first reason is, they will turn away your hearts. So you have to destroy them. You have to remove them. You have to annihilate them. Very harsh. Verse 6. For, the word used for, because, for, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. What type of people they are? They are holy. They are holy. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. Not only that, the Lord your God has chosen you to be people for his treasured possession. First thing is, they will turn away. And second thing is, you are holy to the Lord. What does it mean being holy? What is the word holy? So this evening, from chapter 7, we are going to look at the aspects of our God's holiness. The aspects of our God's holiness. What is the meaning of holy? For your, yes, what is it? Set apart. That's a wonderful coming from our young people's mouths. Set apart, absolutely. What else? Pure. Very good. What does it mean, being holy? He says, you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. So what is the meaning of holiness? And we read that verse, Leviticus 11:44. It says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. What is the meaning of that holy? When we say God is holy, in Isaiah, what is that word? Holy, holy, holy. Those seraphims, they're covering their faces. They're crying, holy, holy, holy. And because they will turn away from, they will turn away, or those seven nations, they will turn away. That's the reason you have to destroy them. Because you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and your people treasured possession. These are the three reasons. Does it satisfy you? It's very difficult, right? Still. God taking judgment, or God showing judgment, it's not a new thing when we come to Deuteronomy. He has been doing even before. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he not punish? Think about firstborn in the Egypt. Firstborn in the Egypt. How can God takes away firstborn? Many times we don't have this eternal perspective of our lives. For us, it is all about now and here. We want quick. We don't have eternal perspective. God looks at us in an eternal perspective. Our souls, God created us as eternal. We only think in terms of this human life, this physical life. But God looks at beyond. When he said these seven nations to be destroyed, what about God's justice? Will all the people in those seven nations will go to hell or heaven? Just because Israelites has destroyed all the seven nations, are we thinking that all the seven nations will go to hell? Is God not a just God? Even after their death, to make them just, or to prove them they are just? You got this point? See, God mentions all the seven nations to destroy. They killed all the seven nations. Now the question is, are all the seven nations, say each nation, 1 million, are all the 7 million will be in hell? Is that what the question we are asking? But God being just, does he not know that whether they're righteous people, whether they trust in God or not? Not only that. Think about Rahab. Who is she? She comes from a Gentile. Think about Ruth. Who is she? Moabite. What do we say about God's grace, God's mercy? See, we only think in terms of our emotional baggage. We only think in terms of when it hits to us. Or we ask question to God. There are two ways of asking question to God. One is with not trusting him. Another way is by trusting him. And second, and another point, we don't really understand the implications of sin, the ramification of sin. I shared this. I work in a Chinese company, for Chinese. You all know coronavirus. When one person asked about this question at workplace, I told him, when a Chinese person gets coronavirus, why I should be affected? Isn't it? When a Chinese person got virus, why my job should get affected? Isn't it? That is their problem. They have to resolve it. He understood the point. See, when God created us as humans, we are all dependent on each other. We are connected to each other. We are not like silos living in some island. No. We are impacted by each other's life. I have a colleague. He says, I can see whatever I like on the laptop. It is between me and my laptop. You understood it? Between me and my laptop. How does it impact my son? How does it impact my family? We know how it impacts. When that boy gets exposed to what his father is seeing, will it just retain with him? How it will impact his life, throughout his life. When parents, they don't live according to the word, saying that we follow the Lord, how does it impact children? Does it not impact their children? It impacts. When they go to college, when they go outside, when they see the world, it is not matching. What the word of God is telling is not matching what they're proclaiming. We don't really understand the implication of the sin, the impact of sin. And we see here these seven nations, God with his wisdom, with sovereignty, he's asking them to destroy. The reason is they're people holy to the Lord, separated for the Lord. And not only that, God is working a big plan. He has to bring out Savior from this nation. He has promised to Abraham. That's what we see down here. See verse 7. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and choose you, for you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. Just because he promised. Just because he promised. You remember David remembering Mephibosheth. Why he remembered Mephibosheth? David and his friend, what's his name? David and his friend, Jonathan, they made a covenant. In that covenant, what they did? They cut. And maybe somewhere, when he sees that cut, he remembers Jonathan. Maybe a day has come, he has seen that, remembered Jonathan. Hey, I made a covenant with him. Is there anyone left in the family of Saul, in the family of Jonathan? See, God is so passionate about his promises. He's a promise-keeping God. And we see here, God says, you're a people holy to the Lord. What is the meaning of holiness we have been talking about? Here we see, very interesting, holy, the word that is used is kadosh. Kadosh in Hebrew language. That means sacred. Sacred, not separated. Not set apart. It's a sacred, kadosh, holy. To differentiate or to make it more clear, I read that verse, Leviticus 11:44. It says, for I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourself. That sanctification is kadesh. Okay. That means you set apart, consecrate, dedicate yourself, prepare for the Lord. Keep yourself holy. You see the difference? And the third one, holiness, is used, kodesh, means it's a consecrated thing. It's a dedicated gifts, holy things, things that are dedicated. So there are three ways holy is used. We all know about love more than love, right? In Greek, agape, philio, like four types of love. But holy, the word holy is used in three ways in the Old Testament. Number one, as we read, is holy, is sacred, is unapproachable, is separate, is a holy God, grandeur. And the second one is to set apart, set apart. So, and the third one is the things that are set apart for God. Okay. So I want to repeat that. First one is holy, means sacred. God's being is himself holy. He's unapproachable. Holy, holy, holy. The word used is the sacred, kadosh. He's unapproachable. He's completely beyond. Glorious. His being. It's talk about God's being. And the second one is set apart. It's a verb. Setting apart for God. How do you set apart? By taking some steps. Okay. By consecrating. By dedicating our lives. We set apart for the Lord. That's the meaning of holy. And the third one is, not only God is holy, we set apart ourselves holy, but we set apart some things holy to the Lord. Consecrated things. Remember, in Daniel chapter 5, King Dariavesh, he uses the cups, those things that are brought from temple. You know what? God is so ferocious. You may ask, what is there? I can use this cup or that cup. What is there in the cup? No, no, no. It is consecrated for God. Some things are consecrated for God. So dear brothers and sisters, let's pause here. What is the application of this? Do you have things in your life that are consecrated to the Lord? Can you consecrate? Can you consecrate your TV to the Lord? Can you consecrate your laptop to the Lord? Can you consecrate your money to the Lord? Can you consecrate your studies to the Lord? Can you consecrate your mind to the Lord? These are so precious. God looks at these things. So precious. We consecrate our houses to the Lord. Nothing unholy should enter into the house. Right? We consecrate. Not only that, we kadash, we set apart, we prepare. How do we worship the Lord? In the array of holiness. In Psalms, there is a beautiful verse that says, I'll read it for you. It says, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. How do we worship the Lord? By preparation. By preparing. Reading the word of God. Preparing. Lord, how can I worship you? What is the best thing that I can give you back? You have loved me so much. You gave me this new life. We come prepared to to worship the Lord. So I was wondering, in Hebrew language, these three words are there. How about when it comes to New Testament? Exactly the same, similar way, New Testament is also explained. In New Testament, the first thing, hagios, which is equivalent to holy, that first part that I mentioned, God is holy, God is awesome, God is unapproachable. It is used, hagios, that means holy, holy one, most holy, saints. That is the word he used. The second one, set apart, it is used I want to map it properly, that's why set apart, sacred, consecrated. For example, sacred scriptures, as we read in 2 Timothy 3:15, they are sacred scriptures. They are the things like how it is so sacred, so holy. And third one is undefiled by sin. Is Hebrews 7:26. As we read Hebrews 7:26, let me read for you. The Hebrews 7:26. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. So this is the word used, hosios, undefiled by sin. Undefiled by sin. Very practical, living out. So here, one interesting thing is, there is a lot of math. I want to make it very simple, okay, so that we'll not get confused. We have been trying to understand God's holiness. We've been trying to understand God's holiness. Many times when we say God's holiness, we are only thinking about the purity aspect. I should not commit sin. Or I should be holy. Holy in the sense that I should not read bad things. I should not see bad things. We all focus on our practical issues. Whether I'm holy to the Lord or not. If I commit any sin, I will go and confess. I don't have a data here. Sometime back when I prepared for a message, I was going through in the internet. When are the sites, bad sites, more clicked? Is Sunday night. Because prepared everything. We have finished our worship. Then we can take some lineage. We can just spend some time on other things. So many times we focus on how I should not commit that sin. How, especially as young people, right, when we are going through life, there are several things that really challenges us. Especially the purity aspect. Purity aspect. So as in Matthew it says, even when you look at a woman with lustful eyes, committed sin. We focus so much on that, but we forget very important aspect. What we forget is, the word I'm using, hagios, that means holy, holy one, most holy saints. This word is used 222 times in the New Testament. This aspect of holy saint is used 222 times. Very important. Why the number I am giving. And the word Jesus undefiled by sin, holy, the hosios, it is used how many times, you know? 8 times. 222 times, what is that? And 8 times, what is that? Why is that gap? Is going back to this word. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. See, we are by position, we are children of God. By trusting in Jesus, we have become children of God. You understand? By trusting in God, when we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, that is more important. Our position in Christ, that is more important. When we understand that, then all other things fall in proper place. Many times we don't understand who we are in Christ, and we try to beat ourselves. We try to beat ourselves. Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, I lost this. When we don't understand who we are in Christ, practical things we cannot handle. We might sometime be successful. But here it says, you are saints, holy, the word used, saints. In 1 Peter 1:16 it says, you must be holy because I am holy. By position we are holy. God looks at us because of Lord Jesus Christ, not because of our successes or failures. That does not mean, it does not give any room for us to commit sin. The point is, we need to understand what is God's heart. Coming back to Deuteronomy, right? For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. By possession, by status, you are holy. That's why he says, it was not because you are more in number than any other people that the Lord said is. It's not because of your capacity. It's not because of your background. He says, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and choose you. For you were fewest of all people, but it is because the Lord loves. Because he loves us. Because of his promise he made long before, and he wants to bring Jesus Christ. That's the reason. It's not because of we are some belong to some sect or belong to some group. No. It is out of his love. It is because of his love. And he says, verse 8, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath, as I mentioned, it's an oath, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord God is your God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. So as we are understanding God's holiness, my burden or my point here is, when we really understand what is our position in God, then all things will fall in its place. A common example you might be knowing, one person is given a jar and different sizes of stones. You must be knowing, it's a simple example, okay. Different sizes of stones. Big stone, small stone, very small stone like sand, and one jar. How do you fill that? First he filled sand, he filled next level of or next size, and when he came to a bigger stone, he was not able to fill in. But the best way is fill in the big stone first, then other stones, sand easily gets filled in. Why I'm telling this example is when we major on major things as God's people, when we understand in this case who we are in Christ, as we are discussing, Israel is a very good example as a role model. It's not a role model, like an object lesson to all of us to learn our spiritual lives. When we understand who we are in Christ, look at this verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Right? We are a holy nation. So when God mentioned those seven nations, it is given to that context, it is given in that situation. You cannot extrapolate that, saying that God will do that to all nations. No. See, as God is bringing people from different world, from different places to our own place, and we are doing San Jose State. What is that? Bridges. Yes. So as people are coming, we cannot apply this portion there. You got it? We cannot apply those people are different nation. Let's kill them or let's... No. We cannot apply. We cannot extrapolate this verse to entire all the situations. But what we have to understand is, as in 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Our arena of war is different. "Being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." So two aspects of holiness. One is we are by position, we are holy to the Lord. And next one is we are possession, by possession, treasured possession, we belong to the Lord. So we looked at why God has to go to that extent of destroying them. We mentioned the implication of sin we cannot comprehend. And we do not have the eternal perspective. We only look at very short period. We want quick. But God looks at in the eternal perspective. And God is a just God. He knows who is righteous, who is not righteous. And we have seen how the word holy is being used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It is used in the level of position, we are holy to the Lord, and it is used as a verb, our responsibility, set apart, prepare. And not only that, we have used or we have seen the word holy for things also. God, He wants things, what we possess, things like money, things like time, our talents, they also needs to be dedicated to God. And now coming to chapter, verse 12 onwards, the results of this holiness, we looked at the holiness aspect, but what are the results? Two results. One is blessing. Look at verse 12. And because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and steadfast love that He swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herds, the young of your flock in the land that He swore to your fathers to give to you. You shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. How those seven nations, how they are being fruitful? By trusting Asherim, the carved image. The images. What is Asherim? It's a goddess, fertile goddess. If they don't have children, they go to the goddess and they ask, they offer their kids, or they give, which is entirely abomination to the Lord. But we see the blessing of this holiness is God blesses them. He will take away sickness, diseases of Egypt. He will increase the herds, fruit of your womb. And He says, because you listen to these rules. So is God, God of condition? It's a very difficult question, right? Is God, God of a conditional God? Yes, 100%. We are so much afraid because if you say God is a God of condition, what happens to grace? We'll go into the rat hole of saying, if I commit sin, will I lose salvation? All those things. But we see, when we trust God, yes, when we go to God and pray, God will answer us. What is wrong in that? God is a conditional God, yes. When we obey, He will bless. When we don't obey, He will not bless also. What is wrong in that? He will not bless directly. Not only that, when we don't obey, because of His laws, what God has naturally, will not be blessed. Anyway, if you see, you will not be blessed. But we see holiness brings blessing to our lives. Not only that, 17, if you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? This is a very interesting word. If you say in your heart, there are several places in chapter 9, for example, it says, do not say in your heart. It seems they say something in their heart. We also tell so many things in our heart, right? Oh, can I do this? Can I not? We talk to, but here it says, if you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember. See, when we are afraid, what we have to do? We have to remember. Remember the Lord. Simple. Where do we remember the Lord? In the breaking of bread, mainly. That is the place we learn to remember. That is the place we put our minds and hearts to remember. Do this in remembrance of me. What an amazing breaking of bread. What a centerpiece for our lives. Isn't it? Many churches, no breaking of bread. Go to the church. 1 hour songs. 1 hour message. That's all. And again, they go back to the same songs, messages. So if they go back to the same cycle, how they will be strengthened in their spiritual lives? And we see here, if you say in your heart, so and so, it says, you shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials that your eyes saw, signs, wonders, mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So will the Lord your God do to all the people of whom you are afraid. When our kids ask, what dad, every Sunday same thing. I have been going to church since childhood, same thing. You are remembering same. That means you are not making interesting to them. You are telling the same thing again and again. You are reading only Ephesians. If I go to India, our dear brother, 30 years back what he read, he will read the same thing in the worship meeting. He will go back to Israelites. They divided the sea. How can kids get, young people get motivated, energized, excited? Remembering the Lord. What a dimension it is. When we are holy, when we worship the Lord in the holy attire. What an amazing, when we come to the Lord as one people, as a local body, with as one man, as we worship the Lord. Will not God hear our prayers? Will he not live with us? Will he not walk over, like in the Revelation, among those seven lampstands? What he does? He walks over. One day I thought, during the worship meeting, let me walk over and explain this. Yeah, he wants to hear our true worship. So as Israelites were moving on, Moses is reminding them, remember, you are holy to the Lord. The word it's mentioned, people holy to the Lord. Not only God is holy, you are holy to the Lord. So may the Lord bless us as Western Wake. We are holy to the Lord. Let's understand what is our position. Chosen generation, chosen race. What does God require of us? What does God require of us? He requires justice. He requires that humility. He requires that compassion. As Israelites are moving on, we are in the seventh chapter in the coming days. As dear brothers take us through, navigate through these chapters, may the Lord help us to draw closer to Him. May the Lord challenge us. Lord, we want to be holy, utmost holy to you. We want to dedicate our lives. The time that I have in my hand, 24 hours, 7 by 24, how I want to use it? Am I using for the Lord? The things that I have, am I dedicating to the Lord? The phone that I have, am I dedicating to the Lord? What are the apps that I have? What are the games? How much time I am spending? Just by looking at Facebook, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, can I dedicate it to the Lord? Lord, I want to surrender that. So when we understand these things, when we understand at that level, other things fall in place. May the Lord bless this word. Let's look unto the Lord. Prayer, let's pray. Dear loving Father, what a privilege to know you as our God, to know that you have loved us, not because of our strength, not because of anything else, but you have loved us with your everlasting love. Thank you, Lord, as we studied chapter 7. Lord, we pray that thou may teach us what is the meaning of holy unto thee. Speak to us, Lord, throughout this week as we go through various situations in our life, as we take various decisions, as I take the decision, teach me, teach us, Lord, to see whether it is holy to you, the decision that we are going to take. Help us, Lord, each and every moment of our life. Lord, we trust you. Lord, we honor your name. Lord, we worship you, Lord, with this attitude. And we commit all our families, Western Wake Bible Chapel, all our families as an assembly, Lord, we come closer to you, O God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.